You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome into Hit That Line, Week 9 edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Joining me, we've got two-thirds of the Legal Gambling Council. We've got Austin Gray, Ben Woodhouse, Nicholas Carr on the mend. He is on the DL this week. He will be back next week. I'm sure we'll get some picks from him. I'll make sure to let him know we need those. But welcome in. Last week was a bit of a doozy. We had another kind of up and down. We did hit Stanford Moneyline plus 700 and SMU Moneyline plus 280. But it looks like collectively we were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. And then we had, do some quick math here, 4, 5. Nine and 16 last week.
Ooh, brutal. Dude, we keep piling up right side losers. Like USC against Notre Dame, USC was the right side in that game. That was the absolute right side. Oh. And if you had a better number, you know, 10, 10 and a half, you push or win. I had 9.5, so lose by the hook. Iowa against Penn State, I was the right side. They're the right side. But I had 3. They win by 1. Like, little shit like that all year.
Wait, hold on. Let me double check something. I take that back. What was the efforting? Okay, never mind. I was wrong. We were 10 and 15 because Missouri did cover.
Yeah, another brutal one. If you had Auburn, that's brutal.
It's been our worst year so far.
And we're still pretty good.
Keep in mind, last year we were like, what, 63% or something crazy? We couldn't sustain that.
Yeah, I mean, last year was pretty
The year's wild. Still young. We could rattle off a couple of green weeks. And
starting this week.
Yeah. I do like the card. I went through and just kind of did some quick research and looked at some matchups and some numbers, and I ended up with, I think, 10 on the card. 3, 6, 9. Yep, 10. Before we get into picks, let's go ahead and dive into pretty much what everybody wants to talk about, what everybody's talking about right now, and that is the coaching carousel season. As you've got, how many are open right now? We got Colorado State's open. We've got Florida. We have Penn State.
UCLA, presumably.
UCLA, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Got quite a bit of jobs open. A lot of P4 jobs. But
we've got Auburn potentially coming open.
Auburn potentially. I don't think LSU is going to come open. We talked about it a little bit earlier today. I think it's more a money issue. And then also, I do think Brian Kelly is going to catch some grace for Garrett Nussmeier being hurt. I think that's going to save him.
I don't think that if LSU comes open, it's because they fired Brian Kelly. I think it's because he resets and goes to Penn State or something like that. Yep.
Look, I know it's unlikely, but LSU could still go on a run. I mean, they have some talent. They're not just talentless.
Could be this weekend.
Yeah.
And how many losses they have? Two.
Yeah,
and you can keep the locker room together with two losses.
And look, I understand why, as an LSU fan, you're pissed that you lost to Vandy. Like, I get it, and they're probably pissed they lost to Ole Miss. I understand that, but you lost to two top 20 teams, top 15 teams. Like, this is not Vandy from 15 years ago.
No,
it's a pretty good Vandy team, because that wasn't a fluke on Saturday. Favorite
again this weekend.
Yeah. But look, we're not going to beat around the bush. Let's just talk about it. Lane Kiffin, once again, coming up. I mean, look, I was telling somebody earlier today, I mean, this narrative was already fully formed before Napier was fired.
For sure.
Like, people were all – I mean, I keep seeing all these people on Twitter, you know, that everybody's got a microphone now, so everybody has opinions, you know, including us. But the people that are out there like, oh, well, you know, my sources are telling me that, like, Lane Kiffin has been completely vetted. And, like, it's like, yeah, no shit, man. Like, Florida was vetting him in 2023.
Also, what's there to vet? It's Lane Kiffin. We've known him for 40 years. Like, what are you talking about?
It's like Alabama vetting Nick Saban. What are we doing? Like,
okay, here's the vet. He's the fastest guy to win 50 games at Ole Miss. Okay, done. Like, he can win.
He was the head coach in the NFL 20 years ago, and he just turned 50.
Yeah. Got to dot those I's and cross those T's.
So I'll give my piece, and I'll let you guys run with it, because mine will be quick. Comparing the two jobs, there are obvious advantages in Florida. Bigger enrollment, bigger fan base, yada, yada. But the disadvantages, doesn't appear that Florida has a clear path or a clear – I don't think everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction NIL-wise. I mean, everybody remembers what happened with Jaden Rashada, right? Like, dude ended up suing the school for breach of contract or something. You know, they can't figure that out. You know, they've got a ton of money invested in one player, in DJ Lagway. And it's just kind of been a mess. You know, portal-wise, they weren't able to retain a bunch of players. Obviously, one of Ole Miss's best players last year was from Florida, in Prince Umamielen. He opted to leave. And then portal-wise, like I said, you compare that to Ole Miss. Ole Miss has got NIL and the transfer portal figured out. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean Ole Miss is going to get the best recruiting class every year. It doesn't mean Ole Miss is going to get the best transfer portal class. But I'm pretty sure since the portal became a real thing and since Ole Miss was competing in it, Ole Miss has been top five every year. Mm-hmm. And I think that those two things being figured out at Ole Miss are a huge part of why I think Lane Kiffin ends up staying at Ole Miss, because I think he needs those things to be figured out, or it's a non-starter. Okay. And Scott Strickland, is he gonna be the AD? I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I'm pretty sure they still have an interim president. Like, I don't think the school has hired a new president. Okay. That fan base is just so irrational and so insane to where if you don't have it figured out in 2 years, they want you gone. I mean, this will be the, what, fifth coach since 2011? So, like
– sounds right, yeah.
And like, Dan Mullen won a bunch there. Will Muschamp won 11 games there. And then when it fell off, they wanted to walk across. So like,
Mullen went to the SEC championship game, and that wasn't good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not comparing program to program these days. It's about NIL, and it's about portal, and it's about roster management. And, like, Ole Miss has those things figured out. I think if Kiffin were to go to Florida, you're having to build that thing from scratch. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be tough because, I mean, people thought this was going to be a drop-off. People thought this was going to be a down year for Ole Miss, and you're in the top 10 mm-hmm. after 7 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever. So he's got – the secret sauce at Ole Miss right now. And I think just all of the football stuff that goes with it, but then also off the field, families here, like the entire family, not just his kids, Layla has moved to Oxford. He's got Chris Kiffin and his entire family. You know, both his parents lived here before they passed on. I mean, I think you saw it in the documentary. I don't think it's an act. I don't think it's bullshit. I don't think he's trying to market himself. I think it's real. But at this point, like, all these other coaches have tried at Florida and haven't gotten it done, haven't figured it out. Could Kiffin do it? Sure. I would think so. I think if Kiffin went to Florida, he'd be successful. But it's not a guarantee. And it's not a guarantee at Ole Miss. But right now, you know, he's won double-digit games two straight years, fastest coach to 50 wins in program history. I mean, you're looking at statue territory if you stay at Ole Miss, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
that's kind of my piece on it. I just think a lot of obvious signs point to staying at Ole Miss being the better fit for him just because of everything he's done to build it. So maybe he sticks with his guns and does that because, you know, he made the whole deal on the documentary and then in some recent interviews with Chris Lowe, like, you know, I'm kind of tired of looking around. I kind of want to just look where I'm at. So, sure, he hasn't come out and said it yet, but, you know, we talked about it before we hit record. I mean, I think a lot of that is because he's in the middle of game week. Like, they're preparing to beat Oklahoma. So, that's kind of my take on it. And look, I'll say it. I think you guys will probably echo it. Nobody knows anything right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Kiffin has sat down with Jimmy Sexton. I don't think Jimmy Sexton has. He's probably talked to Florida on the phone, maybe. He's probably talked to a couple people. But it's not like you've had, you know, Zoom calls and sit-downs to discuss this. Like, Kiffin's trying to beat Oklahoma, and that's his main concern right now. So I think that that's why, you know, everybody wants him to come out and say he's not leaving. He's not going to do that. It's not how he is. But if it was a bye week, it'd be different, right?
Look, these guys aren't our coaches, Ole Miss coaches, so it's probably no solace to us. But Mike Elko didn't exactly come out and say, I'm not going to Penn State when he was asked this week. Jed Fish didn't exactly come out and say, I will be at Washington, you know, this year, next year, and for the rest of my life when he was asked about it this week. So just let's take off our blinders for a second and recognize while Cignetti did sign an extension at Indiana and put those rumors to bed, Cignetti's like 62 years old or whatever, 63, however old he is. He's an old guy, 64, okay. He's nearing the end of his career and says he wants to retire at Indiana, all right? The other guys I named are closer to Kiffin's age, and they have handled this in a manner similar to Lane Kiffin. So I'm just wanting to say we're not the only fan base that's going through it a little bit right now. Now, you know, A&M's fan base probably thinks they can go toe-to-toe with any program in the country when it comes to money and resources. I get that. But look, Washington certainly can't. And Jed Fish handled it much in the same way that Kiffin did. So that's not to excuse or justify Kiffin's answer. I just want to point out we're not the only fan base going through it. And Kiffin is not the only coach who has taken this tack with it. He's just not. And he won't be going forward. There will be, I'm sure, guys, how quickly is John Sumrall going to be asked about the Auburn job? The day Hugh Freeze is fired? Like the minute Hugh Freeze is fired? Like it's going to come up for everybody that's worth a shit in the market or potentially.
There's just not a lot of good coaches.
Brent Key will be out.
Brent Key. And also, I think the most measured approach to this is to say he and Zach, this echoes what you said a second ago. It's very likely, extremely likely, and I am not sourced on this, but just life experience, that the extent of any conversation about Florida has gone something like along the lines of Jimmy Sexton telling Lane Kiffin, hey, the Florida job has come open, and Lane going, okay, like it's not been like, okay, let's sit down and weigh the pros and cons of Ole Miss and Florida and decide where you're going to go when we're playing Oklahoma in 5 days. Like that's the craziest suggestion ever. Like for Kiffin to be going through, like you said, Zoom calls or meetings and text messages and all that kind of stuff to like mobilize himself for Florida. It would be different if this was November the 20th. Ole Miss was not making the playoff. State was the last game. And that's a different deal. But right now, Ole Miss is, what, 6-7-1 with Oklahoma on deck. the college football playoff directly in front of Ole Miss still right now. Yeah. And guys, mm-hmm. I know that some people are like, well, and this isn't me, you know, subtweeting or anything like that. I mean, I don't even think – I think even with a competitive – and I'm going to pick Ole Miss to win, but with a competitive loss, I don't think Ole Miss is out of the playoff still with two losses and will be favored by probably a touchdown or more in every remaining game of the season. So I just don't think that this whole suggestion of, oh, well, he's definitely going to go to Florida. No, the thought or what I believe probably would happen in Kiffin's mind, and it could be this controlled narrative of his couched answer that he always gives, but it's probably more like, hey, appreciate y'all like saying that, you know, we would be suggested for that's good for our program, or that speaks to what we've done here, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's probably because he hadn't thought about it. Yeah. Like maybe he's had a conversation with somebody at the dinner table, but like, it's not been something where, oh, well, let's sit down and talk about how much NIL Florida has. Like, if he does do that, and that bleeds over into his game preparation, well, then hell, Ole Miss may get run out of the building Saturday. Like, uh-huh. You don't have time to do that. The teams are too the margin for wins and losses in the league now are so razor thin. I mean, Ole Miss didn't even put up resistance with the defense last week, to the point that it gave up a 4th-and-2 when Georgia stopped in the backfield, would have won the game, frankly, if they just pull him down. Ole Miss didn't even put up resistance last week and still could have won the game. So, like, that's how close – and that's Georgia on the road. That's
up how nine. Close up nine in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's how close the margin of error is. So I just don't think that you have time to weigh your options in the middle of the season. Now, if he is, well, then there's nothing we can do about it. But I can just say that, like, sure, he didn't come out like the supposed Marcus Freeman reports that say that he said no immediately. I don't know if I believe that or don't. But, like, I guess if it was a absolute no, then, yeah, sure, Kiffin could say that. But it's not an absolute no right now. Like, that's the truth. I mean
– Yeah, I mean, Mark. Real quick on Marcus Freeman, he's playing at Ohio State.
Yeah, right.
He's also at like a really easy job to make the playoff.
Yeah, right. Like, he's at Notre Dame.
All he's got to do, pretty much, at Notre Dame is win your, you know, and I say win your clunkers. Well, the majority of that schedule are clunkers.
Yeah. The playoff was like made for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. They don't have any conference obligations. They basically have their own television network, and they have a religious denomination that like supports them to the tune of millions of dollars a year from all over the country. Like, what do you? Yeah. That's not even a It's a completely different situation.
All he pretty much has to do is just look handsome.
Yeah, and he's a good coach. I mean,
played for a national championship last year.
So I'll say what we talked about prior to jumping on here. People continue to talk about whether Florida's better than Ole Miss. I just think that's irrelevant. I don't think that's the question that needs to be asked or answered. I think it's whether Florida is more attractive than Ole Miss right now and for whom. And we're not talking about the jobs in a vacuum. We're not talking about a hypothetical coaching candidate. We're talking about a human being with family in Oxford, family that moved to Oxford to be near him. Not just one family member, not just a couple family members, extended family members that moved here for him. And yes, they could pick up and move to Gainesville. Their home's in Florida. I'm sure they're lovely. But I think the idea that it's just you flip a switch and it's just that easy because back in 1996, Steve Spurrier wore a visor is fucking laughable. Like, that's not how this works. I don't know that you can say – in fact, I know that you can't say this – because almost every argument that Florida fans and their journalist mouthpieces are making about the job start with what Florida has been and what it can be. But nobody wants to talk about what it is. And I think that's what matters.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
What it is.
Soundbite that.
Yeah. Like, what it is now is a middle of the pack job in the SEC because everybody's got money now. Almost everybody, even Mississippi State, has scratched up some money, right? Everybody can keep the players they want to keep. Now, you may not be able to keep every player, but you're going to keep your most valuable player, and you may be able to go grab the Sun Belt's best player. Again, Mississippi State grabbed Fluff Bothwell, the second best player in the Sun Belt last year. Like, that's state. Vandy's a top 12 program or whatever right now.
Missouri grabbed Ahmad Hardy.
Yeah.
From, you know, exactly. He's the best running back
great,
in the league.
Great point. Mizzou has thrived in this era, much more so than Florida has, by the way.
Also, to your point, you know, maybe you could keep your best player. Well, last year Florida didn't because he played at Ole Miss.
Exactly. Exactly. South Carolina kept their best players, though. Like, all these teams that Florida traditionally benefited from beating up on by playing in the weak-ass SEC East, okay, all those teams now, they've been able to do a better job of retaining their personnel than Florida did, and also do a better job of acquiring more talent than Florida has. Now, this is just objectively true. That's the state of their program now. Not when Steve Spurrier was there, and not in some magical world where Jordan and Gatorade buy every player, you know, on earth for them 3 years from now. I'm talking about right now in reality. That's undisputed. That's undisputable.
Okay. Here's another thing, too. You mentioned what Florida was. And I was talking to a guy earlier today who lives in Florida, works in the recruiting industry. And we were talking about the job because I was like, what do you actually think of the job? You know, I didn't ask him about Kiffin. I just went like, you know, what do you think about the Florida job? And he said it's very interesting now because like everybody recruits Florida. Everybody's been recruiting Florida for the last 10, 15 years. It's not just
years. It's longer than that. Yeah.
It's not a pacifier state. Like I asked him, I was like, I think Louisiana is a legitimate pacifier state. And by pacifier state, I mean like you're born into it.
Yep.
Like you're going, if you're born in Louisiana and you live in Louisiana, you're going to LSU.
It's as what Barton Simmons used to point out formerly on the Cover 3 podcast, now the general manager at Vandy. Every high school in Louisiana, every public high school, their colors are purple and gold, and their mascot is a tiger. Every high school in Louisiana. That's
regardless of where you go to school.
Yeah.
Tennessee's the same way.
Yeah.
You go to Middle Tennessee, you cheer for the Vols.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's interesting about Florida and like recruits in Florida, because everybody just all of a sudden thinks like, well, if Kiffin goes to Florida, then every kid in Florida is going to want to go play for the Gators. Okay. First of all, it's been pretty widely reported that like Kiffin's not the biggest fan of high school recruiting.
Not, we know that firsthand. It doesn't have to be widely reported, y'all. We know this. We've lived it.
He knows that you can't get a lot of production out of an 18-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it unless they're very unique. There are only so many of those to go around.
Yeah,
there's one player on Ole Miss's team this year that is a freshman that's playing, and he's from Florida. But my buddy sent me this. So last year, the state of Florida put out 4 first-round picks. The year before, 5. And then, I guess this past year, so I guess this year's NFL draft, only there was only one Florida player to walk across the stage first-round pick. So, like, over the time, like, players from the state of Florida are – not really developing. They're not really performing at a high level. And I'm not like, that's not going to always be the case. Things change, but like compare that to Texas and Georgia, like the 3 big programs in the state of Florida, Florida State, Miami have produced just one homegrown first round pick over the past 3 years. And that was Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Who was basically a first round pick because he looks good.
Right.
So this whole like narrative that like, well, Lane Kiffin goes to Florida, then all bets are off with recruiting. Like, no. Yeah. Like, it's not 2004 anymore.
Part of it is it gets people like us talking about it and gets people like us reading about it. And so it's very easy to put Lane's name with any job, particularly the Florida job, because of the Spurrier comparisons, because of the offense. He's pretty. You know,
they've been doing it for 5 years, man. Anytime a job has come open over the last 5 years. Yeah.
Yep.
Something about Ole Miss and Florida, man. It's like a drug that they can't quit. Because remember, they were they're all the Hugh Freeze rumors back in 2015.
And look, that's been memory hold, man. Hugh Freeze legitimately declined the Florida job. So for everybody acting like it just can't happen, there's no universe in which a coach at lowly Ole Miss would ever decline the Florida job. it literally happened a decade ago. Like, it happened. Hugh Freeze had an offer. He didn't accept it. He stayed in Oxford. Much to our chagrin, he stayed in Oxford.
Consider this, too. Like, if you're at Florida and you play Florida State and Miami in the non-conference and you play Georgia in conference, and let's say Florida State doesn't stay down, but, you know, they become normal Florida State again. And I'm not saying like Jameis Winston Florida State. I'm just saying a 10 win per 9.5
better than they are now. Yeah.
You have to win at least one, if not two out of three of those games, and then run the table the rest of the year. That's talking beating Tennessee. That's talking beating Ole Miss. That's talking beating Alabama, whoever you draw in the SEC, Texas, LSU. Texas A&M, whatever. Dude. And if you don't do that two or three years in a row, okay. Or if you do that, let's say you do that once out of every 4 years. That ain't going to fly there, man. No. Like, that ain't flying.
No. I mean, that's –
ask Dan Mullen.
That's what I'm saying with, like, the – if you don't have it turned around in 2 years, that fan base wants you gone.
Like, what happens in Florida if Kiffin – if Florida's had the team, exact team roster Ole Miss had last year, and they roll that with Kiffin? Okay. We are very forgiving here about last year, and I'm not going to get into the details of that. We all lived it. What does the Florida fan base treat that like last year? And then in the following year, their coach is flirting with going to USC or Texas or Penn State.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be meeting it with, oh, we'll pay you whatever you want to stay. They would not do that.
And that's another thing to address is it sounds like, and again, I'm not sourced on this. Ben said he wasn't. Zach, I don't think is it. I don't think anybody is.
No, nobody's sourced. No.
But it sounds like, by all accounts, we will not be outbid for him. I mean, if they want to put $1 billion off, whatever. But you get my point. We will not be within reason. We're not going to be outbid. Like, we're going to pony up. So let's talk about the resource point. And I feel like we had this conversation maybe when Auburn came open. Or, and hell, it may have been last year when Florida was rumored to be open. The institutional alignment that Ole Miss and Kiffin have right now between athletics and the administration, I don't know that you can top that anywhere in the country. Our athletics director and the head of our collective are roughly Kiffin's age. They're all on the same page. The head of our collective played football at Ole Miss and worked for a giant apparel company in the sports world, right? Our athletics director played basketball at Ole Miss, played high-level SEC basketball and was fucking good, right? I say all that to say these are not like paper pushers. These are not guys looking at spreadsheets, seeing the dollars and cents, cost benefit of everything. These are guys who all want to win games, and they are willing to do what it takes to win games and have since the new regime has been in place, since NIL has been a thing, since the portal existed. Not to mention our chancellor is very athletics friendly. He also played basketball at Ole Miss. He's
a high school basketball coach. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that. He wants to do this more than he wants academics to succeed. Not to speak for him.
But what you're saying is the brass at Ole Miss are all ball knowers.
They're all ball knowers. They're all bought in. And the point about that is not to say that Florida could never get there. That's not my point. My point is to say the infrastructure exists in Oxford and was meticulously built and constructed. It's not going anywhere. You can't flip the switch and do that overnight, no matter where you go. So if he goes to Florida, who it seems does not have their shit together from a collective standpoint, they're competing collectives, they're fighting, whatever. Maybe they raise $1 trillion for him, but who's getting what and who decides that, right? In Oxford, we know the answer. The Grove Collective works hand in glove with Kiffin and Keith Carter, and they dole out the dollars. How does it work in Florida? We don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it seems it's not very organized. Right.
To that point is if he does decide to make the move, the infrastructure is already in place for the next coach to succeed.
100%.
And if we are willing to pay $10, $11, $12 million a year, that next coach is going to be at least as good as like Jed Fish. Right.
Yeah. That's our floor.
Yeah. Before we move on to picks, my take on this, we've already talked about it. If anybody's throwing out like confidence numbers or saying, you know, that's just being emotional.
Look, you're entitled to have that. Yeah. You can have a gut feeling. You can have a gut feeling about it, but like, just say that's all it is. It's just a gut feeling. That's all it is. You're licking your finger and sticking it in the breeze. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, when we covered the Lane Kiffin coaching search, like when Ole Miss was looking for a coach after Matt Luke was gone, like I remember covering that, and it was like 45 minutes, 50 minutes before we knew it was real, like before Lane Kiffin got on the plane.
Yeah, I remember
like
that.
No one knew, and then it was just like, boom, okay, like signed, he's getting on the plane, he'll be there in an hour. Like, this isn't like, and it's not me saying that like people don't have sources, like that's not what at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying like right now in the middle of a game week for Oklahoma, which is could be the biggest game of Lane Kiffin's career at Ole Miss, they're not talking about Florida, like Ben said. They're not like sitting at the dinner table like, I wonder what the collective's doing down there.
Come on.
I mean, they may in a month or 6 weeks, but like right now they're not doing it. Also,
Lane Kiffin's not. Maybe other people at his dinner table are, but not Lane.
Before we move to picks, like a couple of things. So if Kiffin was not already at, like, let's leave the allure of Oxford and Ole Miss on. I don't know that football coaches care that much about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what I do know is like he's already there. So like,
yeah,
it's so undersold that like the guy's entire family tree has moved itself to Oxford. And to Austin's point, they could pick up and buy big old houses in Gainesville. Sure, they could do that and move all their kids. All those kids are in school. All those assistant coaches with their families who have kids in school. Lane Kiffin's kids who are in school who seem to be doing well. Lane Kiffin's nieces and nephews are in, I mean, these are real human beings and their lives. And so you have to go into the coach. Now, a great point that somebody made to me, every good business decision is typically selfish, right? But in terms of when this is your core group of people and you're looking at them going like, okay, let's pick up and go to Gainesville. Everybody, like everybody go. And matter of fact, some of you, y'all aren't even coming with me, even though they've helped him build, you know, what he has built so far. And guys, it's not like he hasn't been really, when we talk about the lay in the egg last year, he's still knocking on the door and he's knocking on the door this year. And he went 10-2 in 21. And so like, he's right there where he is now. I mean, it just, I heard somebody the other day, like, and this is so true. And as somebody who did it, I moved towns 4 years ago, still live in Mississippi. Dude, it sucks to move. Like it, it sucks. Not just like that. I'm talking about just the logistics of picking up your crap and moving it. Not just like meeting new friends, going to new schools, finding new places to eat. Where do you get your hair cut? Where do you get your, I mean, there's like a million things that have to go that change about your life when you move. I'm not saying that it's not worth it to take a new, but that goes in consideration. It's like, man, I've kind of got my fit here now. Like, why would I pick up and go and completely start my life over?
And I'll say this as someone who's done it both ways. I've moved my own shit and I've had someone else move my shit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It still sucks either way.
No, yeah. I've had people move my stuff, but the point is like getting, I mean, it takes you a year to get settled in your new house.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and he's moved a bunch. I mean, nobody's an expert at it like he is.
Speaking of that, I just, again, and I think we're all on the same page here. I'm not predicting that he doesn't take the job. I'm just trying to knock down these pins that have been set up by the Florida beat. And again, they're journalist mouthpieces, like all these silly ass arguments they make. Lane Kiffin was not a Florida boy either. Can we stop that?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin started coaching at Tampa in 96. Lane Kiffin was 21 years old when his dad started coaching the Bucks.
He was born in Lincoln, college. Nebraska.
Yeah, like, what are we? So the visor.
Why has no one done that? Boy,
like, what are we?
His
are
dad we coached at NC State when he was a kid. What are we talking about?
Why? Yeah, I wonder why no one's done that thing.
He went to college at Nebraska. Fresno State. Like, Florida boy. He coached at FAU.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's on the complete different side. And a much that would be a much more, like, to just be upfront with y'all, I'd be far more concerned about Miami than Florida. If Miami was open.
Yeah.
I mean, comparing Boca Raton to Gainesville.
That's the other thing. The people acting like Gainesville is like put your toes in the sand after practice. Are you finding people been to Gainesville?
It's like
Are these people from Gainesville that are saying this shit?
Dude, that's, like, it's just fucking pine trees everywhere.
Yeah. Like,
he's like, like living in Wiggins, Mississippi.
Like Boca Raton compared to Gainesville might as well be Jackson, Tennessee compared to, you know, fucking Atrani in fucking Italy.
Carmel.
Dude, it's night and day. It's crazy. All right. Yeah. I mean, we just figured we'd get that out of the way.
I don't know whether he's going or not. And I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to know unless he just dispels it, which I would welcome the surprise. I would.
Sure.
But keep this in mind too, though. Even if, and I'm not trying to make anybody nervous, Lane Kiffin doesn't, or at least to this point, has not ever agreed to a large buyout on the if he leaves end. No, like, I think so even if he were to sign the extension, that's not like that's really, I mean, it's a voice of affirmation. Like, it's a, hey, I'm committed to you guys. But also, by the way, you know, they are only going to owe you like $8 million if I leave, right?
Yeah.
Rather than $60 million or whatever.
He's never going to do the giant buyout on his side thing. He's just not going to do that.
No.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Glad we got that out of the way. We
35 minutes in.
I hate to do the things. It's like the job's, you know, he's still at Ole Miss, but people want to talk about it. So we did.
I'm as bought in as anybody, dialed into this conversation as anybody. So I understand that.
Yeah.
The gnashing of teeth. I'll be gnashing with y'all.
All right. So let's, we got games going on right now. We got Wednesday, Thursday, and
the
Friday.
The chat's going off too.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh,
God, I forget to click over there.
Sorry, my bad. Somebody asked about Winston Watkins liking the Lane Florida photo.
It's got to be a troll. I would think.
I mean,
I didn't see it.
What Lane Florida photo?
I didn't see it either.
Was it on Twitter? If it's on Twitter, I'm surprised I didn't see it.
Can you even see likes on Twitter anymore?
Oh, it's got to be Instagram then, yeah, because hidden. Yeah, Winston Watkins is, that's just having fun.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, if anybody's happy, it's that dude. He's playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Smith, appreciate it. Said we're great. Enjoys the show. Appreciate that. James was talking about John Sumrall. I know John Sumrall's a good coach, but I finally looked at his Wikipedia today. Like, you know, excuse me, I was unfamiliar with your game meme. Like, he's won a lot.
Yeah.
I knew he was good at Troy, but I kind of had just, you know, face blindness to how good he's been at Tulane. But he's going to get a big job
at Ole Miss.
Let's get into picks before we stir this anymore. All right. Unfortunately, guys, we can't pick Kennesaw State or FIU or Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech tonight. Let's go ahead and jump to the big game.
We definitely would have won those games had we picked them.
Let's jump to the big ones, and then we'll probably circle back to some of these Fridays and maybe some Thursdays. But let's just go ahead and keep it on Ole Miss here. Number 8, Ole Miss. Number 13, Oklahoma. 11 a.m. ABC. I wasn't impressed with John Mateer in Red River. I still don't think he's 100%. I think he rushed back just to play in that game. He looked pretty rattled. Now, Texas has got a really good defense. A lot has been made about, you know, is Brent Venables stealing people's signs? And then when Texas started huddling up in that game, Oklahoma just all of a sudden couldn't stop anything. I was talking to our good buddy Gray Hardison over at Red Cup Rebellion. He was looking at some advanced metrics. The offenses that Ole Miss face the rest of the way per SP Plus: Oklahoma's 39, Florida 64, South Carolina 85, Mississippi State 42. For context, Georgia's 14, LSU's 48. The adjusted EPA ranks: Oklahoma 90th, Florida 118, South Carolina 111, Mississippi State 49. Georgia's 23 and LSU 78 in that. So there's potential with Oklahoma per the numbers, like with the offensive numbers. When Mateer's on, the offense is pretty good. Mm-hmm. The calling card for the Sooners is the defense. Defense is very good. But I think the X factor here is just Trinidad Chambliss and his legs. I mean, we saw what he did on the road at Georgia. On the road at Georgia, Ole Miss was perfect on third down until the 7-minute mark in the third quarter.
Yeah.
On the road in Sanford Stadium. I mean, highly efficient. I think this is going to be kind of eerily similar to the Texas A&M game that Ole Miss won in 2023 on the road. Grind it out. Yeah. Run the football. Create some turnovers. I know Ole Miss has been bad at that, but I think that's kind of the play here, right? I mean, Ole Miss's defense, like, if you're going to be a chaos defense, you got to get turnovers. So if Ole Miss can force a fumble, can pick off Mateer, I think the offense is going to be efficient. I think they've really found some things with Dejon Stribling and Caleb Odom on the outside. I think that really puts people in a bind with Daquan right over the middle. He got a lot of one-on-one matchups in that Georgia game, and he made Raylan Wilson and Joe Nelaguero look really dumb. Mm-hmm. I think Kewan Lacy is going to run the football. He's been really good out of the backfield. It's been a good check down. He's also just been phenomenal in pass protection. I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag out fight. And I don't know, man, kind of at the end of the day, if you're making me pick a game between Brent Venables and Lane Kiffin, I'm going to lean Lane Kiffin. And we said it earlier, like, huge game for Ole Miss. I think Lane Kiffin knows that. I think the team is well aware of that. You know, they probably had a lot of meetings this week where the coaches are telling them, like, hey, you know, we didn't come here to be close, but, like, you guys were right there with Georgia. So, like, let's clean up some stuff and go get a win. What's the line is up to, like, what, 5.5 now?
That's crazy.
Give me the points. I think Ole Miss is winning this outright. I don't know. Mateer looked like garbage in Red River. And just give me Trinidad Chambliss, man. The kid's been special. I mean, last week was unreal.
So I can't really pick it with Oklahoma. I will tell you, they have literally shut everybody down. I mean, like 225 yards a game type shutdown, except for Texas. But even in that game, I was sitting here looking at it.
Texas had a punt return touchdown.
Yeah, they had 302 total yards.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma hadn't played anybody.
No offense. I mean, they haven't played an offense.
They haven't played an offense. They played Illinois State, Michigan, Temple, Auburn, Kent State, Texas, and at South Carolina. They've got Murderers Row coming up, though, starting with us. Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU to close
probably,
the year.
Probably should have lost Auburn.
So I know what I can't really pick it. I'm concerned that I think, Zach, I agree with you that I think we went out right. My concern is can we pressure Mateer enough for his injury to matter? Because we have been in this bend but don't break mindset all year. Maybe we've done that because I don't know why we've done it. Lack of players or I don't know. Yeah. But making teams – you know, drive the ball all the way down the field against LSU. That one drive, it worked. We intercepted them in the red zone. Gosh, we held them to a couple field goals on two other occasions. That said, against Georgia, you know, they got first downs pretty much every – well, I mean, we never stopped them. And they didn't even really have explosive plays. Like, they just marched the ball down the field and scored on us. So, I hope we can pressure Mateer enough, you know, for the injury to matter. If we do, I think we win. If we don't, you know, I think we're going to, you know, we're going to have to outscore them.
Yeah, what you said about the pressure and getting to Mateer, I'm intrigued to see what Pete Golding does early in the game, because talk about the bend don't break, and talking about all these offenses that Ole Miss is going to have to face, a lot of offenses that don't generate a lot of explosives, you know, aren't really good at generating a lot of time consuming big play drives. I think that's what you got to do, is drop 7 or 8. And make people earn it. And I think Mateer is bound to make a mistake and throw a bad ball. But
I think we are far and away the best offense they've played, though. I mean,
And this is interesting. Oklahoma is just 1-2-1 against the spread as the home team. So it's not like Memorial Stadium is a house of horrors.
11 a.m. kick.
I mean, look, at this point, man, just like do what you did against Georgia. Just like, exactly. Hey, we're just going to score on every fucking possession, and let's see if you can keep up.
That's where I am.
Just do that.
Rather than employing the bend and break, can we do some bend but don't break and get like one stop, you know? That's all you needed against Georgia.
Yeah, that was it. So
I don't think I think in some ways – The game against Georgia will be helpful for our defense, both from a motivation standpoint. Surely they will be motivated to get back on the field and get a stop this week. But second, Georgia's offense is it's similar to Oklahoma's in that it's very reliant on QB run and read, right? Mm-hmm. Gunnar Stockton, I'm not saying he's the same athlete as Mateer. He's not. But, dude, he's a better athlete than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
And Stockton runs Georgia's offense really efficiently, really well. He's not going to – you know, be mistaken for Mike Vick. I'm not saying that, but like for what he is athletically, like, you know, his measurables, dude's not bad, man. And he had a nice keeper against us, which, you know, inexplicably neither Prince Will nor Chambers was able to get a hand on him. But I think facing that look, I think will prepare us a little bit for Mateer in the run game. Outside of Mateer, Oklahoma really can't run the ball. In fact, they kind of remind me of LSU just from a number standpoint. They're not very efficient in the run game. Their offensive line is not dominant.
Okay.
What? What was your thought?
I was going to say, I thought you were going to go. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say they kind of remind you of Auburn a little bit, because there's been times when Auburn has really only had success running the ball with Jackson Arnold. Like, they don't throw it, just let him run.
Yeah, and look, obviously Nuss and Mateer are not the same type of quarterback. I just mean their inefficiency on the ground in general, where LSU's offensive line struggled to move the ball against us. They did not win the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Oklahoma can win the line of scrimmage in the same way that Georgia did. I mean, Georgia is still Georgia up front. They're not Georgia of, you know, a few years ago, but there's still NFL players on that roster. They're just young. I don't know that Oklahoma's got those guys. So I expect the defense to show a little pride. I think Pete's going to make some adjustments. Hell, I hope so, because I, like a lot of folks, I got a little tired of seeing us in a three-man front when you're getting chewed up. You know, I'd like to see more asses in the box and throw some bodies in there. But I think more than anything, y'all's your points are right about the thing to underscore here. They've not seen an offense like ours. If we get in the high 20s, low 30s, I'm not confident that they can keep pace with us.
Well, and I hate that Nick's not here, because Nick's been beating this drum all season. Mateer is an absolute trash team vulture. Like, he did it at Wazoo.
Yep.
He would put up monster numbers against nobody. And then he's done it this year.
Yeah.
So the one thing I'll say, and then I don't know if you have another point, Ben, but my last thing on this game, the ultimate equalizer for Ole Miss is Trinidad Chambliss, because you've got an Oklahoma front that is nasty. But, dude, if you don't get Chambliss and you got DBs with their back to the quarterback, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, he's picking up first down. Yeah.
You saw it last week in the first drive. Chris Cole, point blank, had Trinidad Chambliss dead to rights. Trinidad left him grabbing air. Just sidestep, done, pile on. So That for me is what makes this game so interesting, is because he can create.
I've got nothing to add. I think it's going to be – I really can't pick it, to be honest with you. I just don't know after last week, because Ole Miss was so good on offense and so porous on defense that it's hard to call it. I think it probably looks more like the LSU game than the Georgia game.
I do too.
I think Oklahoma mirrors LSU more than Georgia. And so in terms of like where the talent is on the field, and you know, I think that if, like Zach said, if Trinidad can stay upright, then you know, because keep in mind they've had a lot of sacks in games, but and Arnold's a good runner. I don't know that he's quite the running back or the runner that Trinidad is. So, no. Or at least he has the elusiveness that Trinidad does. So that's where I am with it. I think it's, you know, it's too close to call for me. I think we're going to be nervous in the fourth quarter.
And look, if Tiffin is to be believed, Oklahoma may have had Auburn's signals for most of the
And you know that he's got some shit cooked up this week to catch them.
Guys, I don't know if y'all remember, they played us good at home last year.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, one of the best plays of the season from Jackson Dart was he escaped pressure and threw Micah Davis wheel route down the sideline. I don't think it was a intentional wheel route. I think he just turned upfield.
Yeah.
Real quick, shout out Mason Palazzolo. Which I wonder if he's related to the Germantown, Tennessee Palazzolos. Since NIL became like a real thing in 2021, Ole Miss is 45-14. Florida is 28-30.
Yeah. Florida fans are going to say that's because we have Kiffin. But yeah, I agree. No, I agree. Yeah. No, yeah. I know.
The one thing I love about that is, the ceiling. Like, motherfucker, the coach is the reason for the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And like for Kiffin too, like, well, if you think this is the ceiling, well, win more games, dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, make it higher.
By the way, 88% chance of rain in Norman on Saturday.
Hell yeah. Love
I hope
that.
Trinidad's a mutter, man, because I think we're going to need it out of him.
Dog, he's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He ain't scared of no rain.
I just hope he can throw a mud ball.
Nah, man, just run that single wing,
baby. I bet that's going to be real awkward for Mr. Mateer with a broken finger or
thumb.
That's
a good point, man. Slippery ball, balls, yeah.
Thinking with your third eye there, Ben. I don't know, man. After last week, I hate using this because it's so overused at this point, but Trinidad's a dog.
He's a dog.
And as Houston Nutt would say, you want him in your foxhole. That last week, I know the last couple drives weren't great, but
that missed throw to right was
bad.
But I like that he saw the elephant last week at Georgia. I mean, I'm sure Norman will be raucous Saturday, but it won't be any louder than Athens was last Saturday.
No. Just
won't.
Not at 11 a.m. Come on now.
I've never been to Memorial, but I've been to Sanford at night, and I've been there during the day. That place is sneaky loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, real loud.
They also wanted that one.
They
really
wanted it bad.
We were circled.
Mm-hmm. I had multiple people that were there, and then during the week that were saying that people in Athens were nervous.
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's go to not a ton of ranked on rank. All right, 2:30 ESPN Missouri at number 10 Vanderbilt.
I'm gonna do it again, guys. I'm gonna do it again.
I think I'm riding with you. If you're going where I think you're going,
go ahead. You call it. I'll tell you.
Laying them with Vandy.
Really?
Dude, they're the better team, I think. I think they're the better team.
This is the he can't keep getting away with this meme with Diego Pavia.
Yeah, I know. But look, I'm tired of fading him and getting my ass kicked.
Yo,
so.
He had that
it's
one
only
play
two and
he
a
made
half.
Last week where he made the defensive end miss and then rolled left. I think it may have even been a fourth down. That play was legitimately amazing. I was like,
he had some,
you were a good
man,
player.
He had some Manziel to him last week.
And look, spot is great for Vandy because, as crazy as it sounds, they didn't really break a sweat against LSU. LSU threatened a couple times, but Vandy kind of just kept them at arm's length. Meanwhile, Mizzou's in the fight of his life in Auburn last week.
Yeah.
Go into overtime. Auburn probably deserved the win. They got to get up now and go to Nashville, which is not sleepy anymore. Vandy will have a true home field environment for that game. I'm not saying Mizzou's a bad team at all. I think they're actually a pretty good team. I just think Vandy's better.
Vandy student section might be full again for a day game.
I think people are tweeting about that.
You know, some would say that people are still disgruntled that they didn't get into an SEC school that was in the home state that they were from.
Some might say that, yeah.
So y'all are both laying 2.5.
Yeah.
Okay. I might come back and fight you on that one. I kind of feel like Missouri could handle it. Hey, people also need to talk about, could be a little distractions in Columbia with Drinkwitz, because his name's popping up quite a bit too. Mm-hmm.
He was advisor. So, I mean, that, why is he not?
I don't hate this pick. I mean, like you said, man, it wasn't a fluke last week, man. Vandy whipped him.
Where's advisor? He's probably driven through Florida. That counts as Florida boy.
He's from Arkansas, which is close to Florida.
Near Florida,
technically.
Right.
You can drive there from Arkansas. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, on this game, like last week was one of those weird clunkers for Missouri on the road. And Auburn sucks, but Jordan Hare's a tough place to play. And Jackson Arnold made some big plays. I don't know, man. I kind of feel like Drinkwitz might need to try to drag this one into the mud and just run Amard Hardy and try to be out, just out physical Vandy. Cause I know Vandy's good. They got a good defense. They're not, you know, 2004 Vandy, but I think Missouri's probably got a little bit more of a stout front seven. I don't know. This is also kind of one of those where, like, I don't know if I want to touch this game.
Like, no, look, I probably shouldn't. This is
maybe the over.
Wanting to be on the right side of a fucking Vandy bet this year. So I'm trying to get on the right side of Vandy once. So I'm going to lay him.
Yeah, Missouri is fourth in total offense, third in scoring. Amad Hardy leads the SEC in both rushing and rushing touchdowns.
He's good.
Are you locking it in, Austin?
Yeah, I'm going to lock it in.
Are you locking it?
No lock.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
That almost ensures an outright Mizzou win. We're under 3, right? Still 2.5, Vandy, right?
The over is scaring me after Mizzou kind of didn't do anything last week. But
it's 2.5.
I think that was
it. Opened 1.5.
Yeah, it's just 2.5.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Missouri just wins. Like, I don't know. Like, it just kind of a gut feeling. Like,
Vandy, I said that several weeks in a row with Vandy. I can't go against them again. I can't do it. True. I thought Alabama was going to run them off the field, and Vandy.
Exactly. We all did.
Just about could have won it.
They should have won it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Javier melts. The only time in his career he melts, and he melted on the road in Tuscaloosa.
God, he had some bad red zone turnovers. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to another ranked on ranked, 6:30 ABC. Number 3, Texas A&M traveling to Tiger Stadium. Number 20, LSU. I'm just going to do it. College football's stupid. I'm taking LSU money line.
I'm running with you.
This is a live dog. I don't really have any analysis. Like, this is kind of like you're barely hanging on by a thread, just beaten up in the corner, and you've got to do something.
Yeah.
And
everything is technically still in front of LSU too.
Yeah.
And weird shit happens at Tiger Stadium. I keep waiting on
kickoff at night. I mean,
I keep waiting on A&M to have a weird one. Now they were in a fight last week.
Yeah,
it wasn't as close as the final score was, but I mean Arkansas was giving it to them.
Mm-hmm. To help our against the spread record too, I'm also going to lock in LSU plus 2.5, and then sprinkle if I can get a 3, that'd be awesome. I think it's 2.5 though, and LSU plus 2.5 and sprinkle the money line on top of it.
So you can get 2.5.
This is a good matchup for them, man. I'm telling you, it's a good matchup for LSU.
Agree.
Moneyline is plus 125.
We got to shake the idea that losing to Vandy makes you a bad team. That's just not the case. Objectively, yeah, that's sure. not true. Yeah.
I mean,
Vandy, you want to know Vandy's who's going to give a good effort Saturday? LSU after mm-hmm. losing to Vandy.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I love this spot. It's at night. I mean, this is like if you're Nussmeier and like Whit Weeks, like this is why you came back. You got to win one, which I'm assuming Whit Weeks is playing. I don't know that for a fact. I would hope so. I mean, this is uh-huh. your season. Yeah, this is just kind of like my feeling that I had before Red River, where I was like, Texas is not the better team, but they're going to get it done.
And look, man, I kind of feel the same way about A&M as I do Oklahoma's defense. Like, I think A&M's good defensively, but they also feasted on a lot of dog shit offenses like Florida, like State. All right, last week they go on the road against a competent offense, and Arkansas puts 42 on them.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, you know, no shame in that. Arkansas's got a really good offense, but I think I've overestimated or overvalued A&M on that side of the ball. And again, LSU has not been good offensively. I get that. But I just think, like y'all said, Saturday night in Death Valley, we know crazy shit happens there. I think A&M's due for one. They've been playing at a really high level for a really long time. It feels like they're due for a clunker at some point.
Yep. I don't think they have a good enough quarterback.
Yeah.
Agree.
I think he's going to be
it's
fine.
It's just going
to – but right now, I just don't think he's there.
Yeah.
LSU is just going to have to stop the run. A&M runs it really well.
And that's trouble. I mean, that's trouble for LSU. My thought, though, is that, like, I don't know how much different A&M and Florida are. Like, truly, I mean, I know they played earlier this year, but – and LSU picked off Lagway 5 times. I mean,
yeah.
A&M better be able to run.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like a stat that I would need to know would be like rushing yards. It's like A&M wants to just like grind you into dust. Yeah.
I think they could run for 230 and still lose.
It's true, because like at home, like, you know, LSU puts those white jerseys on and they start, you know, yelling curse words at you and
playing
pissing in balloons and throwing them down. You know, weird yeah, stuff so bound to happen.
The refs have never seen a holding call. Yeah.
The one thing that gives me pause is I watched that pretty much the entire Vandy LSU game. And dude, Garrett Nussmeier just got the shit beat out of him for 60 minutes. I mean, he was peeling himself off the turf multiple times.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of, I mentioned Texas earlier, number 22 Texas going to Starkville. Just got out of the Commonwealth with a dub last week. I mean, Jesus Christ. I just kept looking
Mississippi
up.
State's their weekly 3:15 appointment television SEC network game here.
Mississippi State, you can get as many as 7.5. Dude, I have no idea what this game is going to look like because, like you mentioned earlier, we're talking about Red River. Like Texas won, but like. Arch made some really good throws and some big throws on third down, but like his numbers were still pretty average. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be like this is going to be like a defensive crockpot game.
Yeah.
Where what's like the total is
45.5.
Yeah.
I can't go that low.
Pete Kwiatkowski and that defense are going to just want to sit on him. And I mean, dude, Colin Simmons coming after Blake Shapen.
Yeah.
Godspeed, brother.
Yeah. Look, I think State's defense is much improved though. So if Texas offense continues to struggle, particularly their offensive line. They don't seem to be able to block anybody. I could see it being, you know, a defensive struggle, but 45 and a half, 44 and a half, that's a low number in college football, man.
And you can get it at 6.5. I'll do it.
You're laying
I'll lay 6.5 with Texas. That's just one score.
Yeah.
I think
State can win outright.
I think Arch can hit a couple deep throws. Wisner's back. He's actually playing. I think Texas is going to get to Shapen, and they're going to get some turnovers.
That makes me nervous.
Oh, I think they'll get to Shapen. I just think State's going to get to Arch too.
Yeah.
By the way, that interception last week against Florida was maybe the dumbest play I've ever seen in a football game.
Yeah.
Why were they throwing the ball?
Kick the field goal, man.
I'll say this too.
Run it and kick it.
That was unbelievably stupid.
What do we always say about road games? Defense travels.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference here. I'm not saying Texas is just going to obliterate them, and maybe they do, but.
Yeah, I can't pick it. Like, Texas, I think State could win outright and also lose by 35.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that.
Don't.
Yeah, I think it's a very high variance game. And look, in a game like that, man, maybe the play is to play State money line. Super high variance game.
What is it at?
See if you can cash a ticket.
Money line. It's only at 230.
Yeah, it's not rich enough for me, but I'm like, man, I think State could hang, but it wouldn't shock me at all if Texas wins 33-3. Wouldn't surprise me.
No. There's, especially after the way State lost last week, maybe he keeps them together. Texas still technically has everything in front of them.
That's another thing, man. It's like you're so close, but how many weeks in a row can you be just so close?
I agree.
It's tough to get back up and start again.
Unfortunately for them, does not get any easier.
It does not.
You hate that.
You do.
Their schedule's like the opposite of a warhead. It's like super sweet on the front end and then sour for the last eight games.
what a pull, warhead.
Yeah, what a reference.
I haven't thought about those in 20 years.
They were so sour.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into some locks because the rest of the slate's pretty eh.
I got a couple locks.
I'm just going to go ahead and jump out right now, and I'm grabbing UCLA plus 25.5.
Okay.
And I'm
up in front of the train.
And I'm going to – let's see what the money line is. Plus 1600. Let's go ahead and do that too.
Oh my God.
I mean, look, we had one last week where like it'd be really funny and it hit.
Yeah. So, this would be hilarious.
This would be incredible. See,
he may just like spontaneously combust if they lose this game outright.
That would just be incredible. I mean, look, UCLA's playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, Nico might earn him another paycheck from somebody. And 11 a.m. kick, so it'll be sleepy for Indiana. You know, been reading the press clippings.
Who does Indiana have on deck? I thought they might have
Maryland.
That's a sneaky game. Who?
At Maryland.
Oh God, never mind. Oh, 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks is Penn State, but that game has lost a lot of luster.
Yeah.
I got a lot.
Go ahead.
Going to go to Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna lay 10.5 for Virginia.
Joining you. South's oldest rivalry.
I will say. Virginia has stunk under Tony Elliott, but their quarterback's pretty decent this year, and they're 6-1. Like they've got some good wins. That Louisville win looks a lot better. Or I guess that's a lot, but whatever. It looks a lot better now that they beat Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay in the ACC and give you one more, then flip it to y'all while I'm on it. I'm hot. I'm going to go to stay actually in the state of North Carolina. We're going to Winston-Salem, and I'm going to lay 3.5 with SMU.
Mm. Why is that line so small?
I don't know.
Yeah, that line stinks, man.
Yeah, it does. I'm a sucker for it, though, so I'm going to do it.
I mean, SMU clearly the better team. But off of a win against Clemson, at Clemson, they travel back to Texas, I guess, to practice this week. Then they go back to the East Coast.
I wondered if they just stayed in South Carolina.
You got to have some balls on you to just stroll into a legacy Federal Credit Union stadium.
And wake off a bye, right?
I believe so. This is on the CW.
Y'all remember when Kansas State was good this year? Man.
Cool. What?
Like Wake is the Notre Dame of the ACC. It's just that their channel is the CW. Like, they just get every fucking game on the CW.
Dude, I cannot believe they had a player as good as Deuce Alexander last year, and like never used him.
Never did he even catch a ball?
That's coaching malpractice.
I think he had some catches.
It's hard when Walter Nolan is hanging off your quarterback and Trey Amos is locking you down. But I don't remember him flashing at all. Obviously, Kiffin saw something.
Let's see. He had 4 receptions for 29 yards.
All right. Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing memorable.
We can keep round table. I've already got 2 more written down, though. And I'll just rattle them off. Then y'all can have it.
Okay.
Southern Miss.
Yeah.
-10.5 against ULM.
My Southern Miss to win the Sun Belt ticket is aging nicely.
Oh yeah.
100%. Is that at the Rock?
It's at the Rock.
Oh yeah. I like it.
All right. I lost my other one. Hang on 1 second.
While you're finding it, I'm just gonna go ahead and throw out Old Dirty -14 against App State.
Man, Old Dirty absolutely roughed me up last week.
Yeah.
We got fucking killed.
But App State is so bad.
Yeah, they suck.
And I do like the Monarchs got a pretty good little quarterback. Colton Joseph kid.
Come to the SIP candidate.
Kick and play.
Mm-hmm.
1,690 yards, 16 touchdowns. He also run for 487 and 6 more scores. He can tote it.
I got to shout out my buddy Drew, who's been talking about him all season, and I've just been ignoring it until like 2 weeks ago. And finally, I was like, all right, yeah. They can actually cook a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of potential portal quarterbacks, while Ben's finding this other one, I'm going to go ahead and lock in Cincinnati -4.5.
Speaking of cooking,
that kid,
good. Yeah.
I know it's probably because he wears number 2 and he wears a sleeve, but he looks a lot like Jackson Dart.
Uh-huh.
And Cincinnati, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Still got to be just absolutely dejected with yourself every night before you go to bed to lose to Nebraska, but that was in the opener. But yeah, dude.
But they continue to prove every week over week, they get better. They've got better.
If you're bored on Saturday at 3 p.m., go watch Brendan Sorsby play a little bit. They got Baylor. Baylor's 4-3. They're kind of bursting at the seams a little bit in the wrong direction. It's at Nippert Stadium. I like the Bearcats here. And 4.5, man, that's not a lot at all.
All right. I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina. I'm going to lay 11 with Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
It's probably a good pick.
They are coming off the Tennessee win, but they didn't even really have to play hard. They kind of blew them out. And
yeah.
South Carolina's coming off getting spanked at home to Oklahoma. They've got to play Alabama and then come to Oxford.
And, dude, uncharacteristically, in the third quarter against Oklahoma, there were like 40,000 fans in the stands.
Oh, yeah. It's like, unbelievable.
That whole program is on.
They're letting go of the rope. Yeah.
I think somebody might be – you talk about how moving sucks. I think Shane Beamer is
he's already punched the reset on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I think he might be going home. Going to
– staying ahead of the posse.
Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
I
like that, Ben. There's no way I couldn't – I backed South Carolina last week. We said it was a circle the wagons game against an offense that wasn't great. Traveling to your place, and they just fucking no show. I mean,
the only way I would even remotely entertain this is if it was at night.
I mean, Vandy beat them 31-7 at night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, like Williams-Brice at night, like if it's loud, maybe Ty Simpson does a couple dumb things, but no, I think they're done. Like, I wonder what tickets are for that Ole Miss South Carolina game now.
I mean, the Vandy Oklahoma scores against South Carolina composite were 54-14. Vandy and Oklahoma.
And Vandy put up more than Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and. Oh, where is it? Fuck.
I like Nebraska, too. I'm not picking it, but I like them over Northwestern by a touchdown. I think they're going to have a get-right week after last week.
Is that in
Lincoln? It's in Lincoln. Lincoln.
Okay.
That feels short. I don't really understand that number. Yeah. How is Nebraska not double digits against
Northwestern? Let me tell you, if Matt Rhule wants to stay in consideration at Penn State, he's going to have to start winning games.
Like, and maybe that's baked into the line there. Maybe concerns about Rhule leaving or something, that could be part of it.
Let's stick with that theme here of some job interview games. Now, I'm about to pick one that's a job interview game, but I think it's a one-way job interview game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay the one with Arkansas at home against Auburn.
I just can't believe we are blessed with a Bobby Petrino versus Hugh Freeze game in the year of our Lord 2025. How is that possible?
Dude, Taylen Green was – dude, he was with it last weekend.
Yeah.
On a bum knee, and he was cooking. I think Auburn – dude, if it get – dude, just Arkansas – like Bobby Petrino's probably going to be doing what I was saying that Ole Miss needs to do. Hey, we're just gonna score the fuck out of it, and you just got to keep up.
Yeah, I don't know how Auburn keeps pace here. Auburn, they can't score, man.
No. And it's only one.
Will Derek Nix turn over play calling duties before Hugh Freeze gets fired? That's the question. I mean, Derek Nix is trying to get Hugh Freeze fired.
Con. Yeah, I just – Auburn's – they're dead. Hugh Freeze is done. I think Cohen's letting him ride the rest of the season out and making him just eat it.
Yeah.
There's no real – it's not like you have an advantage firing him now. Just go ahead and wait. Plus, I think Taylen Green and Omega Blake, pretty damn good. Also, the kid – Alex Washington, or no, Mike Washington.
Running back, yeah.
That dude's good. Yeah. Second in the league in rushing.
Their offensive line is good, man. They have a really good O-line.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, their defense is cheeks, but Auburn can't score.
Yeah.
Golly, this is going to be a fun weekend. Let's go ahead and grab this low-hanging fruit here. I'm going to go ahead and grab Stanford plus 30.5.
Cool.
It's Miami. Stanford kind of believing a little bit. I don't truly think Miami.
I hate this pick. Not because I don't think it could win. I just don't have any. I mean, 30 and a half. Whew, that's stinky.
I mean, Miami's not really built to blow people out like that. They don't play like that.
That's true.
And I think, I know it's cross country and all that, but.
Got to be the farthest trip in the country this year.
No, it was, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Who went up to, fuck. It was Washington was playing somebody, and somebody went all the way over there. Who was it? Oh, it was
Rutgers.
Yeah.
That's farther than Miami and Palo Alto? I don't know.
Maybe not. Let me look it up. Palo Alto to Hard Rock Stadium. Miles. Oh, come on. Stanford University. What do you think I'm asking? That is 3,000 miles. All right, so let's do Rutgers University to Washington. Oh, let's just do Seattle. That is 2,800. So, yeah.
Very close.
Very close.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's 30 and a half.
It's a lot of points.
Like, and Miami wins 38-13.
Yeah, you mentioned Miami style, Stanford style. It's a style that plays to keep it close, too. So, I mean, you have two, you know, there's going to be a slow pace, no
21-7 final.
Yeah, yeah.
But never in doubt. Like the NFL.
31-6.
I mean, yeah. There's going to be maybe 28,000 people at this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And they'll be there just to fight each other. Have y'all seen other clips from the game?
It's unbelievable.
It's outrageous, dude.
They're not a real fan base.
It's crazy. They literally show up to punch each other in the face.
It's insane, the fan base for Miami, because the actual university is a private university that is well respected.
Right.
But these are all guys that went to Hialeah Community College.
Yeah.
It's like they give out free tickets at the local JUCO. It's like, hey, if y'all come to 5 University of Miami games, we'll give you a Dolphins ticket for free.
Oh, dude, it's like they're just at the fucking Jewel Osco handing shit out at the checkout counter. Like, nobody cares.
The bodega.
Cigar shops just have them laid out on the counter. Yeah, I got a ton of picks. I'm going to stay away from Mizzou. I'm going to stay away from Memphis. I can't get that Memphis lost last week. I can't get it out of my head.
Plus, if you're considering Memphis, their quarterback got hurt last week, was on the sideline on crutches. If he's not back.
Yeah, they're screwed.
USF might name their number there. So I would tread carefully if you're thinking about backing Memphis.
I'm not. Losing to UAB is just that's a disgrace. My last
I got one.
All right, my last one is Minnesota plus 9.5 against Iowa, just out of principle.
Yeah. I'm with you. Co-sign that one. I backed Minnesota a couple times this year. They're not bad.
They play that style. Iowa plays that style. This is going to be a
– I might have the lock of the century on my last pick of this.
Minnesota-Iowa is going to be 19-15.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, dude, speaking of coaching carousels, a guy of coaching carousel years past, the ghost of carousels past – BJ Flex done a pretty damn good job at Minnesota.
He can coach.
Good coach. Perfect spot for him. He has found his.
Yep. His lobster.
His overworld. My kids watch Minecraft a lot. There you go. His overworld. He can just go there and be creative.
Washington State.
I'm locking it. I don't
minus
understand.
One. This is a terrible line.
Are they good? Are they good?
Did you see the score last week?
I think they're good. They should have beat Virginia last. I know I picked Virginia to cover. They should have. They had Virginia beat last week.
They're not a cute, cuddly story. Dude, I'm telling y'all, now that we're farther removed from it, I can be a little bit more rational about it. They lined up at times and just beat us at the point of attack.
Yeah,
out-physicaled us at the point of attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And look, I don't know who Toledo's quarterback is, but you better have your head on a swivel for number 44 because he's late hitting every play.
Every play. Yeah. He's going to find the pile and run into it at 900 miles an hour. Yeah.
Need somebody in the nutsack.
And hey, the Eckhouse, the Zevi Eckhouse, which is a phenomenal name. Mm. Pretty good little quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
and the running back is good. They're so fun. Voorhees. I mean, it's Halloween. You have to pick Washington State.
They're fun. Yep.
I might as well add that one, too. I'll tell you on that one.
Not to mention travel for Toledo, funky spot, you know, cross country.
To the Palouse.
Yeah.
Washington State has been on a long road trip. They came to Oxford, then went to Virginia. Now they're back in Pullman.
Didn't a bunch of the people that came to Oxford, didn't they just drive to Charlottesville?
They saw the country.
Yeah.
Yep.
But look, I think their fans, and again, I know zero Washington State fans, but based on their showing in Oxford and their willingness to go to Charlottesville too, I think they're going to have a nice reception when they get back to Pullman. I think that their fans are going to be appreciative of the effort the last couple of weeks.
They better.
Because look, they arguably deserved a win in Oxford, and they certainly deserved one last week.
Dude,
I haven't been there.
It's amazing that school who can travel that well from that far away is not in the conference.
He's home. Yeah.
I'm kind of pulling for them because they got fucked over by the Pac-12. This schedule this year for them has just been dog shit. CW picking this one up too. I've never been to Pullman, but I've heard that Martin Stadium's a cool place to go to a game.
Well, it's like, isn't it like 10 minutes from Boise or something? Isn't it like, or Pullman? It's like something that's like really close. Or maybe like,
it's
I'm sorry.
Idaho. It's close
to Idaho. Yeah.
Moscow, sorry. Idaho. Yeah.
Yeah, Moscow. That's right.
Oh, yeah. It's right there on the border.
Like 8 miles or something, right? 10 miles? Something that's crazy. It's close.
Yeah. Because right. I think.
Right there. You jump on the Pullman Moscow Highway and you're right there.
Because I think while one of their stadiums was being built, maybe Idaho's Dome or something, they were actually playing games at Washington something. They were like borrowing each other's stadium.
That makes sense.
All right. I think right now, Austin, you only have one lock.
Well, no, I've co-signed several. So let me
tell me which ones because I guess I just didn't add them.
Yeah. Well, we can circle. Well, I'm on
Minnesota.
I am on Washington State.
All right. I'm on
Vanderbilt.
I got Vandy.
Yeah. I am on Tennessee. Numbers too little. That was an all-out effort last week from Kentucky.
Did I lock that in? Because I meant to if I didn't.
You may have said it. I may have co-signed that one too. But I just think the number's too small. Tennessee, look, I know how this final score looked versus Alabama. But if they don't throw that pick six going into the half.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different game, man. You score a touchdown there, kick a field goal, rather than flipping it to Bama plus seven. Things may get dicey. Now, look, Joey Aguilar may do that on the road this week, too. He's not exactly the most reliable quarterback in the country. I just think last week was like all-out max effort from Kentucky off of a bye, and they lost. They're looking for a reason to let go of the rope. I think Tennessee's going to give it to them this week.
Yeah. Yeah, 9.5 is not much.
No.
This could be – and this could be a Heupel special.
Exactly right. Heupel is a lot like Kiffin. If he can beat you by 50, he's going to beat you by 50. Mm-hmm. They don't call the dogs off. They run their offense.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know that I have any more, y'all.
So I got you with Vandy, Minnesota, Wazoo, Tennessee.
Did you pick LSU?
No, but I agree with you. I'd like a three there just for some insurance. I see a lot of 2.5s. So I don't see a three out there.
I went hard on the locks this week, so I'm not even looking at the list, but I liked the card.
You want an ugly one just to laugh at?
Sure.
Well, I'll give you two. Ugly one just to laugh at. Oklahoma State is plus 38 against Texas Tech. Give me the Cowboys, man. 38? Like,
I can get you 38 in a hook.
Perfect. Just kick two field goals, and surely that's enough to cover.
They right. can't throw tortillas anymore.
Yeah, like, right. That's got to be worth something. That's worth like 3 points. One line I don't understand, we can talk through it, so I'll circle back to Ed. Give me Iowa State laying, can I get 2.5?
Yeah.
2.5 against BYU.
I looked at that earlier.
BYU, I don't think BYU is as good as their record indicates. They won and deserved to win against Utah last week in the Holy War, but that is their Super Bowl, and now their reward after beating their rival is to go play in Ames, Iowa.
The Heartland.
Yeah, an Iowa State team with a veteran quarterback, pretty good squad, really well coached. They're always well coached. I just think it's a short number. You're basically saying Iowa State win outright at home. So give me the Cyclones. The number I was referring to earlier that I think is a little weird is – where did it go on the board? What is Illinois doing?
Okay.
4.5 at Washington.
So this is one I was looking at. I think I have Jed Fish and the Huskies figured out. At Husky Stadium, fired on all cylinders.
Yeah.
On the road, it's
not so much.
It's hit or miss. I want to back Illinois because I do think Burt's done a hell of a job, and I like Luke Altmyer. Their offense is found its footing with the big ass, like 6'5", 260 running back, and then Altmyer's the kid, what's the wide receiver that they've got that's so fun? God, what is his name?
At Illinois?
Yeah.
Like Hedeker or something? I can't remember.
Hank Beatty.
Beatty, there you go.
Highest graded Big Ten wide receiver. Over Mekhi Lemon and over Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith, yeah.
Dude's a lot of fun. He's got some Hunter Renfro to him.
So, Burt off a bye? 4.5 at Washington?
I'm not talking myself into it.
Let's do it. Fuck it. I want to lose. I've been losing all year. Give me Illinois 4.5.
Okay. I'll do it with you.
And then here's one. There's not even a number yet, but I just want to put this out there. If you are a true degenerate and you bet FCS games, Montana is going to beat Sacramento State Friday. Have y'all seen all this controversy, this dust up?
No.
The Sacramento State AD has been talking shit on social media and elsewhere about Montana and the state and their football program, everything. And they asked Montana's coach about it in his presser, and he's like, we will handle that on Friday night. I think Montana beats the shit out of Sacramento State. I don't have a number. I'm not going to put it on the board for official reasons, but that will be one to pay attention to if you can get it.
What were they, Big Sky?
Yeah.
9:30 ESPN 2 Friday at Hornet Stadium. Why of all places is he talking shit about Montana?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Montana's quarterback is Keely Ayotte.
Sure, yeah.
2,000 yards passing, 14 touchdowns.
Be honest with you, Montana's one place that I would move and never look back.
Yep. Look at that. I mean – this is Big Sky Brewing, baby.
Grizz with 1Z. Yeah, I do wonder if Sacramento State's going to hold on to Xavier McDonald. Just a little recruiting thrown in here.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, I mean, what was the number there? What are they? We don't have to get into that, but
they've committed a lot to. I don't know if they've committed actual money, but they've like said like we will commit to NIL.
Yeah.
They've got Brennan Marion, the former OC at UNLV that was it the go-go offense. But they're just 4-3 this year. The quarterback for Sacramento State is Cardale Williams.
Well, as the chat points out,
he got benched.
Well, wasn't Rashada on the roster?
Oh, was he?
It all comes full circle back to Florida and their incredible ability to secure all the resources needed to muster. Yeah, whatever.
Jaden Rashada is on there. Yeah. He's only attempted 42 passes this year. Cardale Williams is the quarterback from Houston, Texas. Yeah, I will throw this out because I think it was Nick that shared this nugget, and then we'll get out of here. Earlier today, if you guys have it handy as I'm scrolling here, it was a tweet about Okay, here we go. This is from, by the way, I hate how iMessage now when you send a tweet, it shows like the likes and replies instead of who the actual tweet's from.
What is that?
Tim Murray from Vizen College Football. I don't know if y'all follow their site. They usually do some good insight on,
yeah,
on handicapping. So his tweet said, fired coach bump. Teams are 6-1 against the spread this year. The game after their coach was fired. Virginia Tech did not cover but beat NC State as a 10-point dog. Colorado State is +6 at Wyoming on Saturday. Now,
dead cat bounce.
I don't want to touch it because
yeah, they're finna be 6-2.
At Wyoming is, I mean, that's scary hours up there.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
But that's Colorado a pretty State's good.
The worst team in college football.
They suck shit. But that's a good stat.
It is a good stat.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it. We have quite a lot of people in here watching. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We're second week doing these live shows. I like it. I like the chat chiming in. Appreciate everybody in the chat. Which, hey, James is all over here. He said Wyoming has been quiet recently. So maybe this is where the Pokes buck their head here. But yeah, appreciate everybody chiming in the chat, joining us for week 9. Big one for Ole Miss on Saturday, 11 a.m. in Norman. And then we will be back next week for week 10 as we are getting closer and closer to the first college football playoff rankings drop.
Week 10 is crazy.
I know. But
where's Ole Miss with a win against Oklahoma in the CFP?
Depending on what 6? Other people do, yeah, because they're at 8.
7, 6?
5 or 6. Yeah, depending on any other movement.
So you got A&M in Indiana, per the show, could be on watch. But Ohio State's going to stay. Alabama's going to stay. Georgia's going to stay. Oregon, Georgia Tech. So, yeah, I think could jump up to 6. I don't know if you'll get to top 5, but it's got to be in that top 12, baby. It's all that matters.
It feels like the last hurdle, to be honest.
I think
I know we'll be nervous going forward, but I really believe that the other games are so winnable.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if you get this one, I think it's a big exhale. And then you can really start to prepare for that home stretch. And, you know, like they say, it's Houston Dale once coined. They remember in November.
You want assurances that you're going to keep your coach. Just make the playoff.
It's very true. Because I'm pulling it up. If I'm making
it. Unless you're Penn State.
Because, look. You get over Oklahoma, you come home, everybody's just geeked. You get a
dead man at that point.
Walk in South Carolina. Uh-huh. Then you get the Citadel, then Florida, who Lord knows what that team's going to look like by then. And then you get a bye before the Egg Bowl. So,
you get through Oklahoma, you're potentially playing 2 or 3 SEC teams. I don't think State's going to get rid of Levy, but they've got fans who want to.
Why?
With coaches that might be gone.
Who would State hire in this cycle, in this carousel? Who would they hire?
Lance Pogue from Brandon High School?
somebody's OC.
Dak Prescott? I don't know. Dan Mullen?
They just bring Zach Arnett back.
I bet they try to get Dan Mullen. I'm serious.
With a Wendy's NIL deal, like.
Did you see Wendy's tweet?
No.
You heard about the heist at the Louvre, right?
Yeah.
Wendy's tweeted out and said, "Actually, never mind. Don't hang it in the Louvre." Yep. Last big one. Oklahoma, get back home. Home stretch. So That'll do it. Ben, Garrett, and I will have a live show tomorrow, Wednesday, in the afternoon, as we are getting closer and closer to Ole Miss, Oklahoma, 11 a.m. Saturday. Nick will be back next week. He has not sent me his picks. Yeah, I think he's conked out on some NyQuil. He said he was sick. So, fortunately, we cannot get you his picks. But, look, to be honest, you don't want Nick's picks right now. Sorry, Nick. But that'll do it. Again, everybody in the chat, appreciate y'all. Everybody watching, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you are. Appreciate you. Till next week, we out of here.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.